The contents of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September-October edition. Today we're going to start with an article about Arch Manning. His recognizable last name has put plenty of attention and expectations onto the sophomore, but the Heisman favorite just wants to play ball. When he was around 6 years old, a boy named Arch knew what he wanted his future to look like. "I really want to be a good football player," he told his family on a car ride, "but I don't want to be famous." His younger brother, Hyde, offered a solution. "Just keep your helmet on at all times." If only it were that easy. Arch is taking over as the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. That alone would mean the eyes of the college football world would be on him. But his last name is Manning, the same as his uncles, Peyton and Eli, as well as his grandfather, Hall of Fame quarterback Archie. That meant as long as Arch was playing football, there was going to be a spotlight shining on him, whether he wanted it or not. And he never did. When college coaches began to focus on Arch as he entered Isidore Newman High in New Orleans, his family sent word, "Whatever you do, do not offer this kid a scholarship yet." When dozens of offers eventually came, Arch had to be coaxed into taking official visits. When he was invited to the annual Elite 11 quarterback competition, he turned it down. It wasn't because his parents were protecting him from the spotlight. Rather, Arch didn't want to go to Elite 11. Because his last name is Manning, people tend to assume that his famous uncles had a huge influence on him. But as Arch was growing up, they were living far away, playing in the NFL. His dad, Cooper, jokes that based on the public perception, he and his wife, Ellen, must have been in Sri Lanka while Peyton and Eli raised him. The reality, Cooper says, is that Eli has never seen Arch play in a game in person for the simple reason that he lives 1,300 miles away and has four children of his own. Family matters. Cooper, who is Peyton and Eli's older brother, was set to play wide receiver at Ole Miss until a rare medical condition ended his career. But it was not passed on to Arch, so he was free to try anything. When he was a kid, his parents had him play soccer, baseball, golf, tennis, and basketball. They put him in a swimming pool. They had him try pottery. They wanted him to play a musical instrument. They learned that his preferred instrument was a football. His favorite swimming stroke was football. And he thought crafting a football out of clay was a good use of his pottery skills. Cooper and Ellen wanted Arch and Hyde and their daughter May to understand that just because they had a famous name didn't make them better than anyone else. Arch has never woken up on Christmas morning in the same city as Peyton or Eli, but he did share a house for extended periods with high school teammates who needed a place to stay. Arch never thought that simply being a Manning made him different. Even became a top recruit in high school. Arch would prefer never to be in the paper or take a picture or do a commercial or do anything that would require attention on him, Cooper says. He has no interest in it. Of course, it's hard to turn your back on the money to be made from the name, image, and likeness deals college athletes can now make. So Arch has signed plenty of deals with sponsors that make him visible. He has done a masterful job of recognizing the undue hype without succumbing to it. This spring, when he was asked about playing behind Longhorns quarterback Quinn Ewers, who is now with the Dolphins, Arch said, "It's probably pretty annoying having me as the backup, just with all the media and stuff, but he handled it like a champ." Arch also handled the situation well on the field, where he threw just 95 passes in his first two seasons as Ewers led the Longhorns to back-to-back college football playoffs. "I played every year in high school," Arch said. "Freshman year at Texas was tough because I didn't deserve to play, but I wasn't used to not playing. I would always go in," former offensive coordinator Paul Chryst's office, "and it was like an hour of watching film and an hour of me venting. So I'm always grateful for him. I still keep in touch with him. He's a great guy." He was just like, "Stay patient, man. Keep working." That's something Arch has always done. Plenty of kids of his generation consume sports in short bursts on YouTube or social media. But every weekend, Arch watched at least two full NFL games because he wanted to see his uncles play. He would sit there with his sweatbands on, Cooper says. During commercial breaks, Arch would fire passes to his mom or dad in the entryway of their home. Watching Peyton and Eli play full games and full seasons prepared Arch for the ebbs and flows of playing quarterback in a way that highlights of a stranger never could. Now, even with his limited experience, he's the starter for a team projected to compete for a national championship. And he's the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, something neither of his uncles nor his grandfather ever did. Around the country this fall, football fans will watch Arch to see if he has Peyton's head, Eli's cool, or Archie's toughness, or some combination of all three. What he's got, his mother says, was an obsession. Now we're going to go into some riddles for you. We're going to see what we know about the rules of several sports. What's the call? Wrong way. Buzz's Bandits are playing Penny's Panthers in a baseball game at the Treehouse. While on third base, Buzz has a brilliant idea. If he were on second, he could peer in and steal the signs that catcher Penny is flashing to pitcher Whitney, and then relay the info to Kip, who is batting. So as Whitney delivers a pitch, Buzz takes off backwards from third to second. He makes it easily. Is this legal? Buzz is out. According to Major League Baseball Rule 5.09B10, a runner is out if he runs the bases in reverse order to confuse the defense or make a travesty of the game. Buzz? Travesty? Never. Sour Power. Sam Ackman and his partner, Kelly Tierney, are in a heated rally close to the net during their USA Pickleball Association match against twins Bryson and Brian Bogaerts. Ackman dinks a shot over the net towards Bryson, who returns it to Tierney. She then lofts a ball at Brian. Aggressively, he steps into the kitchen and volleys a crushing shot back at Tierney's feet. The twins celebrate winning such an exciting point, but Ackman says it is no good. Who is right? Ackman. The shot is no good. Players are not allowed to volley the ball directly out of the air when they are in the kitchen. Buzzer Bouncer. The Victory Violets are down by one to the Electric Eagles with just a few seconds left on the clock in a game played under WNBA rules. Violets guard Vanessa Vick heaves a desperation shot towards the Eagles' goal. It falls well short of the basket, but it bounces off the court and through the hoop as the buzzer sounds. The crowd goes wild, but does the shot count? The shot counts as long as the ball was released before the buzzer sounds. The Pursuit. Agony and Ecstasy. Although a life spent in bed eating waffles and playing Donkey Kong Bonanza every day on an infinite loop might sound awesome, the strongest feelings of happiness come from overcoming struggle. In order to feel the highest highs, you need to have some skin in the game. There's always the element of pursuit, says Murray. Seeking to be a stronger person, a better person than we were before, sports are a microcosm for life. The Exercise. Your bod will thank you. It's time to move. Sports are just good for you. Exercising provides you with immediate benefits as well as long-term benefits. It's good for your bones. It's good for your brain. There isn't a part of your body that it doesn't help. And perhaps the best and most fun way to get in a good sweat is in participating in sports. The Centers for Disease Control reports that thinking and cognitive improvement immediately after physical activity. Exercising also helps to reduce stress and anxiety. Your heart, lungs, bones, and muscles all benefit, increasing your chances of a longer, healthier life. That's right. Even 10 minutes of activity a day can impact how long a person will live. And if you possibly need another reason that exercise should be on the menu, it is proven to put you in a better mood. So what are you waiting for? Get moving and playing. The Rush. Dopamine is dope. Ever watched a game and wondered why you're feeling so intense? It turns out that being a fan affects your brain. There's a phenomenon called mirroring, in which the neurons allow you to feel like you're actually part of the team you're watching. And if your squad comes out on top, your brain is likely to release a neurotransmitter called dopamine that gives you a sense of pleasure. On the flip side, A loss can lead to a release of hormones that bum you out. So don't listen when people criticize you for saying we when talking about your favorite pro team. You're all in this together. The community. Shared lingo, group dynamics, and a feeling of belonging. And don't forget, fun with friends. Sports is all about community. The people you play with, the people you watch with, and the experiences you share. There is something special about coming together because you love the game. Murray says we live in a culture that is highly focused on sports, but that's not a bad thing. He also points out that an interest in sports shows an investment in a foundational element within your community. Wanting to excel in something or be something that is valuable to your culture is very significant, he says. It's also just kind of awesome. Being on a team or even being a fan means sharing the highs and lows of the season. It means coming together over a tough schedule or a difficult loss, or enjoying the thrill of a last-minute goal with thousands of screaming fans in the stadium around you, or the wacky uncle in your living room. To put it simply, it fosters a sense of belonging. Murray believes that being part of a sports community also enhances performance. The social benefits, encouragement, and increased focus to not let your team down can have a big effect, he says. At the same time, and less often, it can sometimes detract from performance due to anxiety and pressure to perform. Sure, not everyone can be an elite athlete, but anyone can take an interest in a team and have a ton of fun doing so. What if there was no football? August 2nd was a big day for Antonio Gates. The former Chargers tight end was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was presented with the traditional gold jacket, and his bust was enshrined in the building known for the giants of football rising out of its roof. But without the help of a politician 120 years ago, Gates might have chased stardom in another sport, and the fame structure in Canton, Ohio would have had a totally different look. Back in the early 1900s, football was in trouble. Played almost exclusively at the college level, the sport was so violent that several of the country's top university officials threatened to ban it. Public opinion largely supported such a move. One newspaper noted the question is, how long will these terrible affairs be allowed to continue? The answer, so far, at least, has been forever. Football is thriving. It's easily the most popular sport, college and pro, in the United States. It has become a year-round phenomenon. More people, on average, watch the NFL draft on TV than the World Series or the NBA Finals. And for that, players, owners, and fans can all thank one man, Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy was a tough guy. He was once shot in the chest while giving a speech, but continued because the bullet was slowed down by a packet of papers in his jacket pocket. He enjoyed football, and thought it built character in young men who played it. And in 1905, he happened to be the President of the United States. That October, he summoned coaches and officials from Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, three of the top programs in the nation at the time. He brought them to the White House. In the months that followed, new rules were put into place to make the game safer, including the legalization of the forward pass, which placed less of an emphasis on overly physical ground games. But what if Teddy had never intervened? That's right. What if we lived in a world with no football? For starters, we'd probably have football. It would just be that other kind, the one that people actually play with their feet. What we now know as soccer has something baseball, basketball, and hockey don't. A schedule that largely revolves around weekend games. And that's one of the main appeals of football. It gives fans the chance to rally as a community on a day when most of them aren't working. Those folks in Green Bay are going to find a place to get together and wear their cheese heads. Maybe it'd be at an art museum or something. More likely, it'd be at a soccer game. What about the players, though? Some of them would simply play other sports. Gates was an excellent basketball player at Kent State. So good, in fact, that he didn't even play football in college so he could focus on hoops. It wouldn't be hard to see him in the NBA doing battle with fellow NCAA basketball stars turned NFL Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez and Julius Peppers. There are plenty of NFL stars who could make a living in different sports. Quarterbacks Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff were raised by dads who played baseball professionally. It's easy to picture both of them as major leaguers. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray was picked in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft when he was in college. Had football not been an option, he'd likely be starting for the Athletics right now, giving the team, which is currently without a permanent home, a much-needed face of the franchise to build around. Those potential other sports stars have one thing in common. They're kind of average-sized, at least by athlete standards. But what about the guys who thrive in the trenches of football games? The guys who protect Murray, like Arizona offensive lineman Paris Johnson Jr. He's 6'6" and 325 pounds. Not exactly the ideal size for baseball. As a journalism major at Ohio State, he graduated in 3 years. He'd be more likely to contribute to a growing trend of giant guys wedged into small cubicles. And consider Von Miller. Without football, the Commanders linebacker would have to fall back on his degree from Texas A&M, where he majored in poultry science. If the 8-time Pro Bowler were to bring the same expertise to chickens as he's brought to football, there's no telling what advances would be made in chicken nuggets by now. So maybe this whole no football isn't bad after all. But what if you don't even like football? Would you notice a difference in a world without it? In a word, yes. If there's one person who's impossible to avoid, it's Taylor Swift. Her life would be different, and so would yours, if you ever read things on the internet. Do we think she'd have met Travis Kelce if he wasn't a football star? She'd more likely be with her old boyfriend, Joe Alwyn, on her album The Tortured Poets Department, would be missing some of its best songs, like The Alchemy and So High School, which seem to be about Kelsey. So how do we avoid this fate? The sad, upside-down, Swiftie-verse where our Sundays are spent, what, talking to our families? We hope that the collective brain power in the NFL and college ranks, and there's plenty, including Kelsey and his recent interdisciplinary studies degree from Cincinnati, is enough to figure out a way to go back in time and save the game. We love so much. Game changers. The rule book rules all, but some athletes are so good or so unique they force the game to change. Here are six instances when players overruled. MLB rules were changed to contend with pitcher Pat Van Dyke's ability to pitch with both arms. The Van Dyke rule was implemented in 2008 and states that a pitcher must visually indicate which arm he will use for the entire at-bat. Fun fact, Van Dyke pitched with a special six-fingered glove, allowing him to quickly switch pitching arms after he visually indicated which arm he would use, of course. Hack-a-Shack. Shaquille O'Neal was a beast in the paint, but dismal at the free throw line, and his opponents were quick to take advantage. Dallas Mavericks coach Don Nelson is credited with coming up with a strategy coined Hack-a-Shack, referring to an away-from-the-ball foul that sends poor free throw shooters to the line. The move prevailed until 2016 when the NBA shifted rules to discourage off-ball fouling in the last 2 minutes of the game. Hold your horses. Dallas Cowboys safety Roy Williams had a great method for taking down an opponent. Just grab them by the collar and force them to the ground. He was so formidable and dangerous that this strategy, the NFL introduced a rule in 2005, making the horse collar tackling illegal. We have run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Services. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.